Do you want to talk about how you're feeling right now?
Oh, so many questions. What does this mean? What do I do?
Go on! Tell them what you think!
I liked it.
I think your calculations may have been off.
I think it's all right.
I just have a lot of feelings.
This pleases me.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
Do you even know what you sound like when you talk like that?
Now, shall we begin?
I was never one to review a drama. Comedy and action were always my luckiest of grab baggins, but I never felt more relaxed than when I threw down a random drama. I've never felt more confident confusing my co-host at the explanation of why I picked the movie I did, and the listeners could hear it as our seasons continued. As for this, the rush of the grab baggins, as you draw something you have to Google 6 times, I gotta be honest, it grew on me. Once you've taken a few movie reviews, and the thought that you would hate every single thing about it, and realize that even Game of Thrones couldn't stick the landing. You don't feel alive unless you're recording genres that you have to question the very nature of their existence. I present to you urban drama. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle in, because this is going to be...
up.
It's going to be a little bit crazy. We're going to be reviewing for our urban drama pick, Green Street Hooligans, 2005.
My name is Matt Buckner. Last spring, I got kicked out of Harvard. But what I was about to learn, no Ivy League school in the world could teach me.
Hey! Hey, this is my brother, Matt.
I'll give you 100 if you take Matt here to the match. And you're gonna be on your best behavior.
Well, come on, then. We're sort of going into my place of business, right?
An outsider has discovered a place.
I think that's like an organized political movement or something.
Where a game,
not me, Green Street Elite,
is only the beginning of another world.
It's really about reputation. You might learn something.
About soccer?
Not about soccer.
Come on, let's get out of here. Not when you're with us. You stand your ground and fight.
Fight? I don't have a fight.
Just pick someone you hate.
Yeah.
Running around with some kind of gang.
It's not a gang. They're my friends.
I like you, but you have no idea what you're getting into.
You know, Pete and his thug friends aren't the answer.
Hello, boys!
Sick! You're so sick!
What teach history? You teach? Yes.
It isn't knowing that your friends have your back. It's knowing that you have your friends' back.
Green Street Hooligans.
I am the firm leader. I'm Mike Knighton.
I'm Tommy Hatcher.
I'm O'Drew.
Here's your famous refill squad.
Refill squad.
Refill squad. Refill squad.
Here's your famous refill squad.
Orifice.
So Lexi Alexander wrote and direct this, and yeah.
Did he do much of anything else? I didn't really delve too much into this because it wasn't my pick.
She.
It's been like the only thing that Lexi Alexander has done. Punisher Warzone was also directed by her, and then something called, Timeless?
I like Punisher Warzone. That was the one that had Titus Polo playing the Punisher.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, other than that, it's been, like, 3 movies and then single episodes
Supergirl,
of random
Limitless.
Television shows.
Taken.
That's about
like, oh, all these, like, movie-gone TV shows. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, what I didn't realize until I rewatched this recently was apparently it's a trilogy with 2 direct-to-DVD sequels.
No, it's not. Nope. You can't.
I was like, usually, I'd think about watching a sequel or a scene if it's worth anything, but just some of the titles, no.
she wasn't even the director for the sequel. She was the executive producer, though.
I mean, did they keep, like, one guy around, like poor Bobber? He's the only tentpole holding up these two movies.
Who's left? We one have of Ike. Base.
even the Band of Brothers alums have dropped off at this
that
point.
That guy is in the second one, and he's, like, the main character. Is that Johnny?
The guy who played Blythe? Or the other guy?
Holy crap! I didn't even realize that Blythe is the Major. Never put two and two together.
Yeah, the Major. He got a big field promotion, apparently. It went from Private Blythe to the Major.
I honestly didn't even give it up attention to looking up the sequels. I knew that there was one. Jack, you've made it clear that apparently there are two.
Yeah, it's a trilogy, apparently.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, he's the one that calls it in and he's like, oh, don't get off of that station, mate. Dave. Mm-hmm. Dave is his name. He was...
Who he played Band Brothers?
He was Joseph...
Was it Malarkey or...
Liebgott, that's it.
Liebgott. Oh, when, that's right, he was Liebgott.
When he fights, he tries to fight Wild Bill. Oh, you problem with Jews? I'm like, yeah, get your Jew nose out of my face.
Do you have a problem with Jews?
No, because those are Private Blythe is from the third episode, I think, and that I always thought that was underrated. Like, the more I see that episode now, the more I understand where they're going with it. You know, it's just one soldier's story. He's a coward, and then he finds his nerve, and then he dies. Yeah, he got the Edelweiss off the German soldier, and that was his little story. That's it. But Liebgott, one of my favorite episodes was when they find the concentration camp, and that's a powerful episode for Liebgott.
That is a heavy episode that still rocks me today. Like, I can't watch it usually without crying. Same thing. So Hunters, I know we've talked about Hunters a couple of times. That show is about 35% of that episode of Band of Brothers. Like, the Jewish, stuff that they had to go through is so heavy that when you're watching Hunters, you're like, I don't know if I want to, like, keep... Oh, it's so heavy. So heavy.
Mm. Well, Nathan, let's give me the fucking bees on this
so
movie.
So the reason why I picked this as my urban drama is mainly because I...
your genre was urban drama. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know,
not like there's a whole lot that I can pick from that I have good feels with. I love sports. I love that this film carries maybe the more, like, beyond what it should be, the ridiculousness of how fans can be. And if this is how firms are overseas, my God, chill the fuck out.
I mean, in the past, I've seen, like, different, like, YouTube videos where people have been filming, like, just the onslaught that, like, football fans.
And for fuck's sake, stop saying soccer.
Would actually be taking at other people in the stands. And I mean, it's kind of like a tourist kind of, like, must know type of thing. And especially, like, if you're anywhere in London and you just, like, you know, pop on into a pub, if you're wearing the wrong jersey, like, you're going to get your ass beat.
And I guess in American sports, I mean, like, so, like, say, take football, for example, if you're a 49er fan and you walk into a Raiders club, maybe not the best situation for you. Or if you're an Astros fan and you walk into a Dodger, like, bar, again, it's not going to go well. But if you're wearing that shit, you probably know what's up. You know your rivals, that's for sure. And I'm sorry, if you're a Yank just kind of, like, joining up with the gang, basically, and it's like, yay, this is fun. We all beat up people. Oh, wait a minute. Some of them kill each other.
Well, and it begs the question, like, out of all the fandoms out there, why did the soccer, these firms, these clubs, how did they become these hooligans, violent hooligans, street fighting, stabbing each other with broken bottles and shit? Like, you don't see that from Rick and Morty or Supernatural or anything like that.
There's definitely there's toxic fans. There's definitely toxic fandom. I mean, you have it in Star Trek, you have it in Star Wars, especially, like, with the new movies that came out, and definitely the prequels. Like, you have toxic fandom, but no one's gonna, like, take a bottle and stab you in the neck over it.
So with the Tommy Hatcher of like Magic the Gathering hooligans would be like the grossly unwashed individual with like the moldering butt crack always on display.
I don't necessarily think it would be like the person who is like, you know, unwashed, unbathed. I think it's probably the weathered old veteran who has gone to like, you know, worlds and has placed and maybe made his way up there. Like, we have a guy here in California who like he won the California like magic tournament, and it was kind of funny because like whenever he, like someone would say it to him, he hated being reminded of it, and he hated it being brought up. But it's kind of like, it's like, was dude, like, but you like kicked ass at it, like you won. And I think
he tried to play his invulnerable card. I mana burned him, and now he is dead, and he has no more deck anymore. But I was very pleased that you picked this for urban drama. I own this DVD, and I don't own many DVDs because most of my purchases are
digital.
Are digital these days. But this goes back to the, you know, shortly after it was released, I rented it from Blockbuster and it got tossed in a drawer and I just forgot it. So when I was going to move to Florida, I like walked into Blockbuster with this like 45-day return Green Street Hooligans rental. And the guy by the counter is like, no, yeah, you bought that. Like,
definitely.
We already charged your card. Like, you own that now. Yep, like, yep. We're not taking it back. Yep. So yep. It still has the Blockbuster on the spine, yes. Like the stickers and shit.
I can tell you right now, as a former Blockbuster employee, yeah, that shit's yours now.
And they had a film on the top of their DVDs where you couldn't copy them, because if you tried, the magnetic strip would like just mm-hmm. shred the whole film, and you're like, oh, Blockbuster stepping it up.
Is that like I feel like that's an urban legend or something. Maybe. Like if you try to copy a Blockbuster DVD, it's not going to go up in smoke on your seat on your burner like fucking Mission Impossible or some shit. Should you choose to copy this DVD?
Is that like new technology from when you could take VHS tapes and you would pop that tab so you couldn't record over it?
You wouldn't pirate a car, or what do they say?
Yeah. That old commercial.
You wouldn't steal a car.
You wouldn't steal someone's purse. Why would you steal a movie?
Back then, the only draw was, the only real name was Elijah Wood. Charlie Hunnam, he was completely off my radar. I hadn't seen him in shit at this point.
Claire Florian, she was in a movie, and I think grossly underrated as... Well, she was in The Rock, which, you know...
Was she the daughter?
She was...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was about to do the Carla was the prom queen.
I mean, she looked familiar, but I definitely, I couldn't place her. And again, I just didn't take the time to look her up.
I feel like she's underutilized.
She was in a movie called Running Scared, and so good. So good. I really enjoyed it. With Paul Walker, so, you know, it's kind of a throwaway.
Oh, Paul Walker.
I feel like her role in Green Street Hooligans was the director, before he would have a scene with her, would just say, okay, now clutch your pearls. And there you go.
I need you to be upset, but not overly upset. And you want to do more, but you're going to run away.
Mystery man.
Go over, try to identify with your brother, take a hit off his cigarette, clutch your pearls.
Clutch them.
clutch the pearls. And see.
And yeah, Elijah Wood obviously is the real draw for the movie, and carries a lot of the whenever it drops to a certain point, Elijah Wood is just so constant that you're like, hey.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, like, you look at Elijah Wood, and you know with Green Street Hooligans, especially, like, if you watch the trailer, like, you know that they're going to get into fights, that you know that they're going to get into, again, some tomfoolery where people are going to get punched in the face, stabbed, probably die. Elijah Wood is not intimidating in any way, shape, or form, and even at the very end, the last fight, when everyone's running, you can definitively hear his scream, and it's the same scream that I heard Frodo, like, you know, scream and run with the sword. With Sting, and I'm like, no, you're still a hobbit running off.
If I take one more step.
I feel like they played well off of that. Like, the first fight true. That he was in, when they used him as bait, and like when he goes like weird crooked wrist swinging. Like, they even kind of made fun of him a little bit after that.
Yeah, I mean, like, his progression to apparently, like, deal a punch and kick someone's ass for it. Like, yeah, like, you definitely have a progression in him becoming a thug. I mean, he's definitely not in any way, shape, or so you're trying to do a chill. How about a Chelsea smile?
Nathan is slowly inserting a credit card or, like, a Vons card into his mouth like they did to
Elijah Wood. And I was just trying to see.
Elijah Wood.
Is that really going to, like, hurt you? Like,
cut the sides of your mouth?
Or dislocate your fucking jaw?
Oh. I mean, here's the thing. You don't know what he was going to be doing.
How fucking big are these credit cards?
Unless, like, he maybe put it between the cheeks and he was going to, like, clap his mouth shut.
No, because he's already bleeding. I think he was going to
punch
him in the face.
Oh, he's going to punch it. Oh, so it cuts all the way back.
But, like, yeah.
That's probably they're why. Not, because it was a Chelsea smile. It was going to rip. He's like, how do you think I got these scars?
But they're not.
Let's put a smile on that face.
They're not razor blades. It's not. I literally just did it. It's, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be pleasant. It doesn't give me the heebie-jeebies like the curb stomp from American History X.
That's
X
the
does.
Urban drama we should have done.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies. At this point, I just fast forward through that part.
Or you definitely look away because it's not something that you watch and go, okay, I know it's coming and I'm okay totally with fine. This. Yep, nope, no.
But the interesting part about the interesting thing about this movie, I think, is that it starts and it ends in two different worlds. Like, it starts with him getting kicked out of Harvard, you know, due to Van Holden stashing his drugs in Elijah Wood's, you know, dorm room area.
Pussy twat money bags the third.
It ends with him going back as, like, the self-actualized man. And I do enjoy that, but the real guts of this movie is the firm and all the hooliganism. I really did enjoy that sort of portrayal, however fictionalized, it is engaging to watch.
And it's interesting because you want to see more of, like, what transpires, like, how it's ran, what carries this firm beyond just the, you know, like, going and, like, cheering for their group and trying to be the loudest. You know, they're obviously beating the shit out of each other and they just get off to that. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, tell me more. Why?
I mean, like, the thing for me is that they definitely have
tell
to
me
be
more, tell me more. Did you get hit very hard?
They have to be running into like opposing firms all the time because they have to be able to recognize who is, like, you know, going for in a different team or anything like that, because no one's wearing, like, any identifying colors necessarily. So, I mean, that's also, like, one of the things in the tussles that they start getting into.
The tussles?
Tussles.
Oh, the tussles.
Whatever. Bit of a scrap.
A scrap. The fights.
I feel like you calling it a tussle is like Elijah Wood calling football soccer.
Fine. When they get into the fights, like, how are you identifying who you're supposed to be fighting? You know what I mean? Especially, like, Elijah Wood. How does he know who to hit? How does he know who to punch? I mean, everybody recognizes him as the Yank. That's fine. But even the other people, like, they hang out with their, like, sole group. That, and I think it's understandable that they can recognize maybe of some people from the pub, but unless, like, we would probably understand the identifying marks of a gang, either by colors or maybe tattoos, but how do they know who to go after?
Well, it's very simple. Frodo puts on the One Ring, and he can see out of the gathered fighters who the Nazgul are.
That's true. That's true. He can then see when he's in the Shadow Realm.
That's great. Oh, Frodo.
That's not a soccer ball. It's a Palantir.
If I take one more step here in London, it'll be the furthest away from home I've ever been.
Oh, man.
It comes in pints.
So, Charlie Hunnam, obviously, so this is one of his earlier films. He only did, like, a couple stuff before this, and he kind of...
the worst Cockney accent, I think, in film history. Or one of the arguably worst Cockney accents.
I was going to say
definitely not the worst.
Has nobody ever watched Prince of Thieves and Kevin Costner? Like, come on.
Well, it's not as over the top as, say, Mary Poppins.
Oh, Mary Poppins!
there's actually like a there's a BuzzFeed is it BuzzFeed? There's a BuzzFeed video where they had British viewers watching British accents in various films, and they watched Mary Poppins, and they're like, "Oh, Dick Van Dyke," and all of them were like, "Yeah, that's not really it's not perfect. It's okay, but I think more collectively, like as a culture within England, they've just like accepted Dick Van Dyke."
Pop on down to the football pitch for a scrap,
and
Miss Poppins.
So, Dick, a big difference, I think, is just time-wise. Back then, people were just happy that you're trying and like, hey, like, he's not shitting on our culture. Nowadays, it's like, well, you can't learn the fucking language? Like, how dare you? Like, whoa, wow, sorry, he's just an actor. Like, that's just his job. So, sorry he didn't do it as well. Like, okay.
So, do you think in 5 years we'll see a Green Street Hooligans remake with an all-female Hooligan cast?
Oh my gosh.
And they put on like the quintessential female empowerment song during their first
Lee Bart-
tussle.
Lee, what's her name? Breeson? Barson? Larson, the Captain Marvel. She'll be like, the maid, Tommy Atcher from the other. Just a lesbian to smack headbutting people.
But doesn't need to be a lesbian.
She loves to play the lesbian.
Just watching some poor girl get her eyes clawed out to Beauty School Dropout.
Oh my god. Do you think it still needs to be soccer that they're supporting, or is it going to be a different sport?
Oh god, it could be cheerleading.
No,
who
it's gonna
knows?
it'll be something brutal, like and she'll do it'll be like sub submarines or
not
lacrosse or some shit.
roller derby.
Ooh, a good roller derby firm. Yes. Sign me the fuck up. I like that.
We take this gymnastics seriously.
when he leaves Harvard and kind of is like, I'm just, in Europe and going to go see my sister unannounced. Kind of rude. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever just dropped in on someone unannounced. Especially
he's got nowhere else to go.
But like, hello.
But he does have $10,000 in his
but
pocket.
But he does have $10,000. So. I mean, maybe here's the thing, though. Like, he could technically go home, couldn't he? Because his dad was off on like a business trip or something. And I'm sure he still has a key to go home.
Yeah.
But
or maybe you just want to meet his nephew.
Maybe. Now it seems like a good enough excuse, I've been framed for having, cocaine in my dorm room closet.
I'm a good example.
Why
I'm
not,
a good role model.
Why not go meet my nephew and see my sister, who I haven't seen in about 3 or 4 years?
He's a fucking journo.
A journo?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, the uncertainty and so much anxiety and like, angst towards the mistrust of certain people in this film. It's unnerving. It's super frustrating for them to just be all like, we hate fucking journos and he's an undercover journo. I knew there was something about him. We don't like outsiders. Shut up, Bov.
Yeah, but what earth shaking secrets is he going to reveal? Like, if he did write a piece, like, let's assume worst case, he's going to keep it anonymous anyways.
Otherwise, they're going to sue him for slander.
It's not like they were running blow on the side to finance their soccer habits.
Exactly.
I think that's where the movie loses a little bit of its steam of like, there is no real case to be made. Just like you're saying, like,
there's
what's the worst that's going to happen? Had he been an undercover cop, like, you get into the more of like, we're Sons of Anarchy, not to pull Charlie Hunnam into this, but, we're Sons of Anarchy doing drug running and, like, gun running. This is a big deal that we have a cop. Don't tell anyone that. I get that. Oh, you do journalism? Like, the least, like, caring... Cool. And nowadays, it's like, hey, can you take a video of us and so we can get more subscribers to our firm? We'll floss. Like...
If it was
we'll do a TikTok
days,
challenge.
He'd be a social media influencer, Elijah Wood's character.
Right. I mean, the thing is, like, they give no reasoning, no case to mistrust the journalists. They just immediately just have this disgust and distaste for them.
But this premise of like an outsider coming to a new place, being accepted by the locals, and becoming like a little bit of a legend. And then it kind of churning on you. Is this semi, without the love story, without the love story, is this kind of like Avatar? Where,
no.
So think about it. You have a guy, an outsider, coming in to a culture that he's unfamiliar with. Work with me. Work with me. He influenced.
Only if you put Tommy Hatcher in a mech suit at the end of it.
I mean, here's the thing. I would associate it more with Dances with Wolves than Avatar.
Because at least that's Pocahontas.
No, okay, no. But here's the okay.
No, you are confirming my
yes. No, but yes. Here's the thing.
Keep going.
Here's the thing.
Keep going.
Tatanka. Okay.
Tatanka.
Watching.
Tatanka.
Fucking bees.
Keep going, Drew. Keep going.
Okay, here's the thing. At least. Okay, with Avatar, you have an outside force that's coming to take something from them, okay? Matt
journalism.
Has nothing to take.
The story!
Okay?
The story! He's a fucking journalist!
He's not a story! He's not doing any stories!
Bob's on to him until the end when Bob's
he's
like,
not taking any stories.
Wood, you are my friend! Tatanka Awachi!
Oh, shit!
Iron stands with betrayal.
Okay, he's
and Bobber is the most troublesome character of the entire movie because
he seems like he's on drugs.
This loyal friend, and like he says after the major gets stabbed in the neck with a broken bottle, like this is how you repay the loyalty with betrayal. And then he ends up saving the day at the end, but not really saving the day because Charlie Hunnam still dies. All he did was say, and then why? Did the sister suddenly show up like, oh, well, I'm going to go stop him, but first let me put my fucking toddler in the car and maybe not bring like a baseball bat or a fucking
or a
cricket
gun?
Bat if
I
they're in
know.
England or some shit. Or a gun or something.
She just
rolls up
well,
and it's like,
to,
here
like,
comes
leave,
a plot device.
Like town. I get that, but yeah.
Right. But she wanted to get her brother.
Does her car not have reverse?
Yeah. Like, car versus man. Car
well,
wins.
When she was... When she got out and she was suddenly being backed up towards the car by Tommy's, you know, right-hand man, she didn't get even into the front. She got into the back seat with the kid. So she avoided the driver's seat. And, I mean, no, she wasn't even, like, going to go driving. She was, in my mind, she was coming to get Matt because Matt was supposed to be leaving with her and going back to the States. And, yeah, her going there was a complete distraction until PD decided to call out Tommy and, you know, basically tell him, like, you're a bad father. You let your kid die. Man, how much do you suck?
Tommy! Now you want to finish me off then?
You already finished, little Petey. The NTO will take care of you in a minute, you mug.
We didn't kill your son, Tommy! You did! You should have protected him, mate! He was your son!
Did you talk about my fucking
son? He was
your son,
Tommy!
Don't talk about
my fucking son!
But I do like the line that Elijah Wood says. It's in voiceover after they leave, and it's there's a time to stand your ground, and there's a time to walk away. Pete taught me that. I never got a chance to thank him. I thought that was a pretty great line.
You bled with Wallace. Now bleed with me.
Now bleed with me.
What if he went back and he was the Robert
Is that Bobber at the next soccer match? He's got the woad on him. And he just has like a pair of Pete's track pants that he has wound around his wrist.
You know for a fact that with Elijah Wood getting that bits of advice, it's just more sage advice from another person giving it to a hobbit. Much like Gandalf telling Bilbo, it's like, it's not knowing when to take a life, but when to spare one.
Not all tears are an evil. Here at the shores of the sea, our fellowship comes to an end.
I was very, very perturbed at the fact that, like, at the final fight, I mean, despite
hold on, does that make Van Holden Rosie Cotton?
If I'd admit,
Rosie Cotton with streamers in her hair.
But the part where Bober is getting like just like punished like a puppy, like it is so cringy to just watch him, like the disappointment when he like looks up and then like looks away like God, like don't hit me, like
and he just keeps saying to himself with like almost like you spit dribbling down
dog.
His mouth. He's like, I fucked up.
You are a bad dog, like push your nose in this poop. Like, you see what you did? He's like, I see what I did. I'm sorry. Like,
he's like Gollum when the cops woke him up when he had drank himself to sleep on the park bench. He should have, like, looked up at the cops and got.
I mean, the entire thing with Bobber, like, he's like a child throwing a tantrum. It's all like, oh, you're getting a new friend? You're not spending any time with me? Well, I'll show you. That's exactly what he's doing.
But I get his, like... I get why he's
being a he's being a petulant child and a bitch about it.
But imagine, like, your best friend who you've been, you know, your best mate who you've been side by side with, and then all of a sudden some random journo comes in, and, like, to his credit, like, in this world, journos are, like, the enemy. And
but at that time, he didn't know he was a journo. And he was still addicted to him.
He smelled it on him.
He smelled something on him, and he just didn't trust him.
Something was afoot.
But he even said, we don't
Shire,
like...
No. Ain't no journos around here, up in Hobbiton. Shire. Journo scene. Downtown London.
He didn't trust him from day one, so he was always just being a jerk to him. So it didn't even matter. It didn't matter that he eventually finds out that he was a journalism student. He didn't take the time to ask him if he was a journalist or anything like that. They immediately made assumptions. And again, yeah, he's throwing a fit. And that's what ends up getting Petey killed. And that's what ends up getting Old Major stabbed.
I think at the...
Sorry, Old Major. My brain went to Animal Farm.
Whoa. I think as Frank Zappa would say, the crux of the biscuit is that this is a bad movie that's still good.
Okay.
Like, it is...
No,
like,
I'll go there.
Like, oh, there are so many things wrong about this movie... Like, for instance, the going to the gym class that Pete teaches.
Hey!
You know, the soccer match with the kids. Like,
that's
bad.
Fun.
Like,
that's
it doesn't
fun.
Add much. A little bit of humanity. But, I mean, it's just trying to inject soccer into a movie about soccer when in reality there's no soccer going on at all. I think these soccer hooligans only go to two games. Mostly they just drink and fight and ramble on about
that,
fucking journos.
Right.
But it's
isn't
still
that,
so
though,
much
like,
fun to watch.
Reality? Like, how many football games do I really get to go to? But how many games do I watch or, like, go to a friend's house and or I get pissed drunk and, like, cheer at the screen?
Right. So, I mean, that's what they're going down to the pub for. They're spending time together. They're watching a game or two.
Bubbles!
And, I mean, I personally would have loved...
I don't even think there were any televisions
in
that pub.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
They just rain out.
Maybe there was a radio. But the scene where they announce the game, the scene where they announce the game between, what is it, Millwall? What's the opposing town?
Oh, the
Millwall.
Millwall and
the draw. Like when they're like drawing for teams. Yeah.
Yeah, when they're doing the draw for the team ups. Okay, they're showing everybody in their day to day routine, and they show Pete in like slacks, a shirt, and a tie. Guys, I would personally love to have a scene where maybe he's like packing up for the day, and he's like bidding the kids farewell, and he's in a shirt and tie. And the moment his foot touches like the pavement of the parking lot, he's like ripping off the tie. He puts on a soccer jacket, and that's when he like he's being cordial. But the moment like he steps into the pub, he's like, oh fuck. Give me a pint.
No. On the wall behind Charlie Hunnan's desk is a Foster's beer, like a 24 or 32 ounce Foster's beer in like a glass case, like a fire extinguisher. It's like breaking case of emergency, and he's just like, Millwall versus our team. Yes! Oh!
I think showing the fact that, like, the group is not just 100% hooligans. Like, obviously, they have a day-to-day life, and they cannot always be, like, these thugs.
All of them.
So,
showing the
fact that they have a life beyond
so
that.
They're people
no,
on
right,
the streets.
Exactly.
So, they're people on the streets, but thugs in the sheets?
Nailed it. And I'm sorry, but when they're throwing bricks at you, like,
oh my
gosh,
I'm out.
If you get hit by a brick being thrown,
one guy got hit in the face with a bottle and he still shut up.
They should have showed more of that. Like, you see the rocks and the bricks sort of arch over as the two sides are charging each other by the waterfront for the fight at the end. Like, they should have had like a couple quick cut shots of people just getting brained with this fucking these projectiles
before it even starts.
No, I mean, honestly, no, seriously, like,
their
I mean, the first
aim for the neck and under the arm.
Yeah. The first fight that takes place, like, you know, right down the subway, and then they take it to the top side of the subway stairs. One guy gets his, like, head smashed into, like, one of the guard poles before you go down. And I'm thinking, he has to be dead.
Oh, yeah.
He has to be dead. Which, people get the crap beat out of him in this movie, and then yet in the final fight, when Petey dies, they're almost like gathering around him, like shocked.
Because Tommy Hatcher is a bard. And he was empowering his melee attack at the end with his little
He dual classed into barbarian, and he just was like, fuck this. Rage?
He was raging. He was totally like, raging.
Don't leave a poor little hammer! His face was all buttered and torn! He made me feel sick! I hit him with a brick! Now the cunt's not laughing or singing! No more! He's not laughing or singing!
Now see, it's enough!
Hang on! I'll get us out of here! Go!
Karen,
but for
he was your son.
He was your son.
He was your son, Tommy.
I mean, that's the epitome of like badassery. Apparently, when you start beating someone to death with a limerick. But yeah, like everyone's standing around and they're like shocked like that Petey's dead.
Phantom toll booth. Yeah,
and I'm thinking, why are you shocked? Why are you shocked that someone's dead? You all were like trying to kill each other. You knew someone had to die.
But I do have to say, as much suspension of disbelief and some of the wonky aspects of the plot, I do think this movie did stick the landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he records Van Holden and when he trips Van Holden, and he says before says it before he even gets physical with Van Holden, like, I wouldn't do that. And then just his cocked fist up and Van Holden sort of like,
pissing himself.
Sort of, yeah, pissing himself, cringing away. And then when he leaves, and you've got that great shot of him walking down the street, sort of like when they would walk to the game, but he's all alone, and he's singing the Blowing Bubbles song, and United! Like, it's just a great fucking ending. It sticks the landing. Even if they did bobble a few of the technical elements of it, I think it was still well played.
Yeah. No, I agree there.
And characters are not necessarily, like, more developed beyond, I mean, like, beyond Matt, like, really, like, who else is, like, better for this? Maybe Barbara with the, you know, he's now the lead of the firm, but not many other people are, you know, the Hatcher's going to fucking jail. Like, he kills somebody, so.
But also there's like not necessarily any witnesses that are probably going to be coming up, because if everybody, you know, comes forward, like they're all going to be brought on charges. You clearly had the security guards that were there, were told to go away. And I mean, this might just be the case that Hatcher has to live with the fact that now he let his son die because he brought him to a dangerous scene. And now he has killed a man.
Yeah, but killing Petey, you know, that I feel like that is a leap of logic that's going to make everything better for Tommy Hatcher.
Oh, it's not.
Because it is Tommy Hatcher's fault, the whole thing. Like, if you're going to be a soccer hooligan, you don't bring your 12-year-old boy into situations where they could get fucking their head stomped like a cantaloupe.
Yeah, exactly. No, he blames everybody, but he's not going to be
himself.
Like blaming himself. And it's really interesting
where
he was your son,
Tommy.
I mean, he apparently only
remember when I killed your son, Tommy. I look just like this.
It's interesting because, like, he clearly has a vendetta against, you know, the major, Petey's brother, but
would you
he
say
hasn't
that Tommy or Pete is Tommy's nemesis?
I will cut out the heart of Pete Dunham, and I will cut out the seed.
I will have Dunham under my boot.
Right, but he's not like going after him in like the normalcy of life, you know what I mean? Because he clearly like knows who he is. But I think it's one of the fact that the major set foot back into the pub, then apparently, like, oh,
you fair game.
Yeah, now it's fair game. You know, you have set foot back onto sacred ground and you're violating some rules. So now, you know, it's on. I don't know. I found that interesting. Like, if he had such a vendetta against him, why wouldn't he go after him in normal life? But I think it's the fact that he went back to the pub.
That makes sense.
Maybe in the sequels, like, the setup is the original Green Street Hooligans, where Petey is Princess Leia. The major is Luke Skywalker. And then in the sequels, Bobber is Rey. And the Tommy Hatcher's right-hand man is Kylo Ren. And they're watching like the matches being announced, but they're like connected in the weird way like Rey and Kylo are. What are you doing here?
Oh, gee. Is it the moment that Major sets foot into the pub? Vader's just all like, I feel a force. Something yeah. I haven't sensed for a very long time.
No, and he's got like the corpse of Tommy Hatcher's son, but that's like Vader's mask. He's like, I will finish what you have started.
Oh my god.
I didn't say that.
That got super dark and
funny.
That
got... You protected him!
Are you guys ready for Segmontes?
Segmontes!
Alright, segment number one. Dun, 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 dun. Breakfast of Champs.
How'd that go again?
Dun, 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 dun. There you go. That's your segment one. Here you go.
When the segments come around, you almost whip it.
And whip it good. Breakfast of Champs, Beer of Gods. After a good fight, our boys go out and grab some breakfast. Sorry for the issues focused a little bit more on that scene, but I kind of wanted to watch more. So what is your go-to to have a smashing dirty breakfast? And respectively, what is your beer of choice for drinking all night? And note, this is not your favorite beer, like, to ever drink. It's just what you want to drink throughout the night.
So, I'll go. I'll start off with a beer. As both of you know, and probably most of our, like, long-founded listeners, I am not much of a beer person. However, I do enjoy partaking in a Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company.
Well done.
That I can enjoy. That's actually not bad for me. Now, if I'm going to go for a hearty... and like incredibly filling, but like filling where like I hate myself kind of filling, and it's super greasy and it's just overall delicious, I'm gonna go down to Buck Owens Avenue and I'm gonna go to Zingo's Cafe. But not Zingo's Cafe at like, oh look, it's 6 o'clock, maybe it's 10 o'clock. No, I'm going to Zingo's Cafe.
Would the freaks come out?
Yeah, like the freaky hour. I'm gonna go to Zingo's Cafe at like 2:30 in the morning, which is when myself and my group, when we used to do Rocky Horror, that was like one of our traditions. We would always go to Zingo's Cafe.
Let me guess, sweetheart, you want to do the time warp again and have the pancake short stack with
but that's on point. Zingo's does have some of the best fucking pancakes.
Now they do. Now, here's the thing. Zingo's is also very much known for their chili cheese omelets. And ooh, with the same chili, they can actually have amazing chili fries. And it occurred to me one night some years ago that I made a very special order. And I told them, I would like a chili cheese fry omelet.
I'll be looking for you next time on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Sedition.
So they made it. They made the same way that they would do the omelet, you know, nice big flat amount of eggs before they, you know, mixed up inside and folded it over. Except inside, they stacked up the fries like they would chili fries, put chili and cheese, folded it over, and then again, topped it with chili and cheese.
Why do I see Sauron constructing rings in the background as you were describing this?
Oh, I was imagining someone like saying to Drew, like, but you said, you found. We saw you fall, and it's like, you know, I was reborn.
I fell
through space and time. And these like fries are flying past him and chili.
So it was a chili
and
cheese.
Every bite was his lifetime on Earth.
My stomach fought the Balrog of chili and fries. falling into his stomach.
And when it was over the next morning, I slew his ruin upon the mountainside.
The special order was a chili cheese fry omelet with a side of biscuits and gravy.
Oh, dirty girl.
It is not something that clearly I think one could devour safely in one setting. It is very much a, like, eat, hate yourself, pack it up, and then take it home to hate yourself once again the next day.
Mine would be the breakfast is a place, it's an institution in Dayton, Ohio. It's called the Golden Nugget. No affiliation with the
Golden
the
Nugget
casino.
Out here.
It's the Golden Nugget, and they have hands down the best sausage gravy I have had anywhere. And every time I go to a new restaurant for breakfast or brunch, I always try the sausage gravy to see if I'll ever find one that can hold a candle to it. And I still haven't. And I can't reproduce it at home. I don't know if they put heroin into it, and their biscuits are just light and airy and flaky. So you get the sausage gravy special with two biscuits, two scrambled eggs or two fried eggs, and then a side of sausage links to dip into the gravy. It is just cathartic. And and but you have to go. It's one of those places like 24th Street Cafe where they're only open until about 2 or 2:30.
Right.
So on the weekend, like, you have to pick the right time to go or else the line is going to be out the door.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It has the same waitresses there that have been there since I started going there when I was, you know, like in elementary school. They just like the same people, and their turnover is incredible. I can't say enough about it. The beer, like, if I'm going to, I usually wouldn't drink beer all night because, like Drew said, anymore it just fills you up. And I'm a rather tall guy. So if I was trying to get there with beer alone, it would take a lot of beers. But if I'm just having easy sipping beers on a hot day, I don't see any problem with Modelo. Just the regular Modelo Especial, like, or Tecate or something like that, is just a nice, easygoing beer. It's got a nice flavor, unlike, I think, Budweiser or Coors or some of the American lagers, lagers do. That's it right there.
For my beer of choice, I go with the good old 805. I think the 805 is just...
You and my brother.
This is just for my... watching a lot of games, and we don't have anything I would consider like top shelf, like small craft brewing kind of companies, or
you could get a case of that for the price of a six pack of a good craft beer.
805 is just solid. It doesn't disappoint for me, and I'm happy. As far as food, there's two places. One, I can never go again because unfortunately she passed away. Faith.
I thought you were banned.
No. Mama Ortega, Faith Ortega, she passed away, and she fell. She made the best breakfast tacos I've ever had in my life, and they were the just absolute dirtiest, amazing. Whew, nothing will ever compare. So there was those. But for a place that I can still go, we have good old Cracked Egg up in Kernville, which is kind of tied with Naughty Pine. I put those two on kind of that same tier of you get the scramble.
Naughty Pine's sausage gravy isn't bad, but their biscuits aren't as they don't marry well together.
No, anyway, that's it. They have a great scramble. And at Naughty Pine, they have Lonnie hash browns, which I'm sorry, but are just delish.
Lonnie hash browns? What exactly?
Lonnie hash browns. That's the hash browns with onions, cheese, and
a little bit of turtle.
Look, the turtle. What a turtle.
Oh, a bit of a turtle there. Not a tortoise, turtles. But a turtle.
Segmonte 2. Ba-da-bum-bum-bum.
Well, congrats on the Epstein account, Van Holden. That should be a nice coming.
I bet your father's election had nothing to do with it.
You hear that line at the end of the film, and it's a reminder that even a simple movie line, it doesn't always stand the test of time. What is your favorite line or moment in a movie that is aged like milk in the hot San Diego sun?
I'll take point on this one.
Okay.
I love Dazed and Confused, 1993's Dazed and Confused. And but I saw that movie when I was in middle school, basically, or just entering middle school. But that's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age. All right. That has not aged well, especially as you grow older and you get into the age where you might have a daughter or your friends might have daughters, and that's just kind of cringy and a little bit creepy at this point.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely noted.
Yeah, grooming high school girls for your purposes is not an admirable or fun thing. So I think that's going to be my pick.
Mine's less cringy on the sexual level, more cringy on just it didn't age well because the internet is ever evolving and not as the net would have you believe. So in the 1995 movie The Net, when Jack and Angela are on the beach and Jack says, "God, we're pathetic, aren't we?" And Angela, "Excuse me? Well, here we are. We're sitting on the most perfect beach in the world, and all we can think about is where I can hook up my modem." Yeah, Exactly. Like, because I remember the moment when, like, Wi-Fi, like, was announced, and it was like, modems, never need your modem again. Like, Wi-Fi is here to stay. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, and I remember that moment and watching the net going, like, wasn't the modem, like, ever dreamed about? Like, it was 56K,
Oh, 56K. There's a popular tweet that's made the rounds where when I was your age, you had to use the phone to access the internet, and it sounded like robots screaming.
Thanks, it's like, boomer. Okay, Grandpa, sit down, take your medication. Really. That's what we grew up with. So, yeah, that's just, it didn't age well in the terms of the internet. So, true.
So, I thought of a few different things, and especially now that kind of like you tweaked it where it no longer became like what is a line, but a few different scenes. Two things kind of came to mind. One that definitely sticks out, and I actually definitely changed my answer while I was trying to sit here and go through these. But one that sticks out is Blazing Saddles.
Oh.
And it's not even a direct saying of it. It's one that you know what's happening, and it's the man up on top of the building looking through the telescope as he's like seeing the sheriff come in. He's all like, "I'm here, I'm here," and you're like, you know what it is, and you're like, that's not gonna go well. That's not going over well at all, shape, or form. If you go with an actual scene, and it's one that we kind of discussed earlier, it's the scene in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective where Ace reveals
Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel.
Where he reveals that the lead female detective that's, covering the case is a man who is transgender and just hasn't had, a reassignment surgery, more so the bottom half. And, like, the entire room just goes, like, sick, and they all vomit, and there's just this disgusted, like, atmosphere around the room, which definitely to kind of, like, send the vibes of, like, transphobia, especially in today's age, it's not aging well in any way, shape, or form. But apparently, at the time, could get some laughs, but yeah, not doing well right now.
Back in the day, that like kind of Richie Rich era where it's like, hey, it's funny when the dog like bites the bad guy's nuts type comedy, where it's like, ha ha ha, this is very, like, you know what I mean? Like super low hanging fruit, and have just learned to say like, hey, maybe not hit on someone that is, figuring stuff out, just go with something a little, it's not as a lowbrow humor like that. It's not cool. So yeah, did not age very well. Oh, the third and the most entertaining of the segmentes. Here's your famous
Magic Dex.
All right, so something beautiful, terrifying, and silly all over the and over the top happens when grown men chant what they believe is to be the best. So we take this concept and we will be adapting it to magic cards. Ooh, pick a color or two or three. Or all of them, and that is your firm now. And give us your chant and your song, and you sing it in the pub. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize ahead of time.
Okay. I think Nathan has to go first.
Yes, and, yes you do.
So my firm is Ramp and Green and Red, and I will just give it a whirl. All right. Everyone starts, but we can't be stopped. The manner we ramp. We grow, so and go! Forest and fire, green, red, the tops. We stomp your white weenies, we break your control. Ramping forever, the mana will flow! TNR! TNR!
Oh my
God. I did it!
Nice. Nice. Okay, I will take over from here. So this is called Seething Song, : Red Deck Wins. Oh my gosh. Okay. We've all got a fiery temper, with the anger in our hearts. The goblin's warren's empty, and a fireball really smarts. Let's reiterate, a shocking bolt will come under the blood moon ire. Chandra and Jaya are lady saints of fire, but some people wanna watch the world burn, because it's ashes. Ashes, they all fall down. Red Deck wins. Red Deck wins. I would like to make the point there are at least five red cards named in that song.
Oh, that is so good. Oh my gosh.
Oh. All right. We saved the worst for last. I did not change around the lyrics in my song, but and I'm also the least experienced Magic the Gathering player. However, mine is a three-way multi-deck, green, blue, and red. It's called the Huey, Dewey, and Louie firm. So let's give it a little bit of a try. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. But solve a mystery. Rewrite history.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Now all I really wish is that Magic the Gathering incorporated this and they started firms up that had chance like this shit. This would put Magic on the map, without a doubt.
Wizards of the Coast, if you'd like to sponsor the Real Feels podcast into writing your own firm songs.
Before big match-offs, like they trot out and they do their songs like Doom the Haka.
Oh, yes! I like it. I like it.
The danger lurks behind you.
There's a stranger deck out to find you! All in all, this movie's not too bad. It's not the worst that we...
No, it's very fun.
But what would you guys rate this film?
I would give this film 7 out of 10 punches and headbutts, enough to leave them to walk away, but understand exactly how hard this movie hit them.
I do enjoy this movie. It's an odd little gem. If I was meeting the boys at the pub for some pints, I would go 4 out of 6 rounds.
Okay, that's pretty in tune with what I... So I got 3 out of 5. He was your son, Terry!
Oh, gee, was your son!
You protected him!
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's decent, but it's not going to protect the sun and
it's not
going to
protect the sun.
He's still going to die. But you know, it is what it is. Drew, how do people get a hold? Oh wait, no. Jack, tell me we've got a Patreon a firm exclusive for this one.
We do, and this kind of dovetails into what we were talking about just a moment ago at the end of the third segment. The Patreon special for this month is a freemium edition. It's called the Ming Street Hooligans. We start a local gaming league in the Central Valley. We play board games, D&D, Pathfinder, and Magic the Gathering, garnished with plenty of pints and trash talking. However, we must insist that nobody stab anyone in the neck with a broken bottle.
I love it. I love it. You know, simple, sweet, to the point, and freemium. I love freemium, so that's beautiful.
Can I make a small addendum to the Patreon special?
Of course.
We're also going to add no drugs and no killing of Drew.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm going to amend your amendment. No drugs out in the open.
Ah, there we go.
No killing.
No killing of Drew. That is the Kenny amendment.
I'll try to bring my child and then go.
He was your son, Nathan.
No, and then just go like, Matt, what's going on here?
Get back in the car. Nathan, get back in the car.
Yeah. Oh God, this has been a train wreck.
Why do I feel like a certain mutual friend of ours is the Tommy Hatcher of this group? Their names will be mentioned.
Hey, what's your son?
Drew, how can people get a hold of us for this episode?
Oh gosh, well, people can always send us an email at realfeelspodcast@gmail.com, and they can look for us up on Twitter at realfeelspod. They can also look for us up on Facebook. Just search for the Real Feels Podcast. Same thing on Instagram. And guys, you can always hit us up on the Tooch Line.
He blinded me with Tooch Line.
So guys, if you ever call the Tooch Line and leave us a voicemail, we will forever be in your debt, because we love hearing from you guys. We love our fans. So give us a call at 661-376-0030. In fact, we would love to hear your firm's chant. We want to hear your own chant, whether that be
set it up and knock it down for us.
Yeah, whether that be another Magic the Gathering chant, or maybe you send us a chant about your favorite movie genres.
And Drew, I believe since the last episode dropped, or prior to that, we had a new Patreon subscriber. We won't out you, but we do really want to thank you. That gladdens our heart. It's almost as good as getting a call on the Tooch Live.
Agreed. We love getting new people up on Patreon because, frankly, we want to give you some free Real Phil swag. And you also are getting some early access to episodes, special Patreon episodes. And, frankly, you get all of our feels. Every last one of them.
So if we're able to, before we sign off, what have you guys been watching?
Real quick, to that Patreon night? Member... If you want us to give you a shout out with your name and to really like say thank you, just message us and let us know that. We just don't want to like pull down the trousers and be like, look, everyone, this person.
We're happy keeping it secret.
Keeping it safe. As for watching, let's see. I finished Fringe and I recorded an episode with my dear friend Ashley. She is the host of the Rabbit Ears podcast. So that episode is available. I'm currently caught up on Supernatural. So just waiting for those new episodes to start. However, I did start Lovecraft Country on HBO and I am
I haven't watched the second episode yet. We're saving it for this weekend for a twofer, a back-to-backer.
Oh, Jack, the second episode is great, and I'm actually very excited because I also have the book, and I'm going to be reading along. I love the styling of this cover, too. So,
that is kind of cool.
I've been watching Lovecraft Country, and under your recommendation, I started The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, the second season is so satisfying.
I'm trying to make my way through it. Sorry. I also finished the first season of CBS's Evil.
Where, like, it's like the pastor
I'm
or like
familiar
the
with
yeah
people.
Yeah the priest yeah you know what super fun a lot of fun and it actually has the nerdy geeky guy with glasses who is actually the main antagonist in the film or in the TV show. He's from that TV show Persons of Interest
and from Lost.
It's very intriguing show. Oh yeah, that's
let's
true.
Let's get our origin yeah, straight. It's a very that intriguing guy was show. In Lost well before Persons of Interest. No, I'm kidding.
I didn't watch that much of Lost. I stopped.
I've never seen Lost.
Okay, he's never seen it. I stopped after season three because I missed some episodes and I got lost on Lost.
Jack, it's worth it to at least stumble through the last three seasons. But the first three astounding, so good.
I will agree with him. The first three seasons
after
you
that,
do kind of get into it.
Ugh, yeah.
I'll consider it. Yeah.
They're long episodes though. Long
episodes.
I
have been going through. I think we're almost done with the first season of Doom Patrol. And Doom Patrol, like I just kept on scrolling past it, and finally we started. It's phenomenal. The cast is amazing. You got Brendan Fraser. Alan Tudyk plays an amazing villain in it, and he also sort of narrates the story, but it's got all these little weird supporting cast members that sort of dip in and out of the series. Like, there is a guy whose name is the Beard Hunter, and he's this, like, fat mama's boy that still lives with his mom, but... his superpower is that if he can taste, like if he can ingest a piece of your beard hair, he sort of knows everything about you. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. But this series has a lot of heart, and I've really enjoyed where it's taken me. I thought it was just going to be stupid stuff, but honestly, I think it's some of the best stuff that DC has done recently. And DC's strengths have always been in the animated movies. Their movies have been sort of really hit and miss, especially the Batman and the Superman stuff. But
they're churning it on right now.
Is fucking
they are
phenomenal
churning it
right
on.
Now, and I'm so glad that I have a whole nother season just ahead of us, because with the pandemic and everything, I've been reading a lot more. I feel like I've watched everything that could be watched at this point, but Doom Patrol is what we've been really
Jack, I'm gonna be honest
days.
You did sound a little bit like Trump there, like Doom Patrol, like you said something.
Don't
the
do
best.
That
I am the Doom Patrol Doom Patrol president. We
better
need
than
them
Marvel,
on the streets.
Better than anything. I mean, this is the best superhero league.
Before I even started watching
Umbrella
it, no one had
Academy,
heard of Doom Patrol. No one had heard of it.
If you watch Umbrella Academy in the ruins of Portland, in the bloodstained
you
streets
support fascism,
of Chicago,
socialism, you're a commie. Don't talk to me.
Just don't leave your spare copy of Doom Patrol in a ballot drop box because you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know.
You know what? You're going to watch Doom Patrol.
Come out. They're Democratic.
You're gonna watch
radical left.
You're gonna watch the Doom Patrol on HBO Max, and I guarantee you, Netflix is going to pay for it. Netflix.
I've got the vaccine. It's in my nipple. I'm going to slowly feed it to you now, and just stroke my hair and coo. Thank you, Donald. Thank you for saving us in America.
So Ford Fiesta has been kind of put on hold for me. I did Ford Fiesta.
Sorry, what was it?
Ford Fiesta.
That's where I...
The Gary... Yeah. Your Ford Fiesta and my Gary Grind have kind of been put onto a little bit
lately,
of pause.
Umbrella Academy and a couple other different shows. One of them, which is the National Geographic, like the Great Eco Challenge with Bear Grylls. I'm a sucker for competition shows and survival, like, challenge.
Like The Amazing Race or something?
Yeah. Oh, God. No, that's... all over it. That's my bread and butter.
Do you watch Naked and Afraid?
Oh, hell yeah!
Of course you do.
But Alone... I'm telling you right now, season 6 of Alone on Netflix right now. Go watch it. Enjoy it, digest it. Phenomenal, great show.
I'll keep that in mind.
It's
I need another season of the Great British Baking Show in my life, but I don't think I'm going to get it anytime soon.
They were filming.
I went right through it. It was but Mary Berry, miss her. But anyway,
Buddy,
Paul Hollywood, you're kind of scum, but I'll still watch the show.
What's the dude that does that? Bake. No. am I nailing it?
What are you?
Ed Bake.
The guy with the black hair. Anyways, he's a comedian. Anyways.
Well, yeah, he's a patsy. He's a scab. The original
two female presenters,
Mary Berry, jumped ship after Paul Hollywood's came out that he was cheating on his wife and all this. It was too much for them to deal with. So I still watch
scandal?
Great British Baking Show, but I do realize that it is a lesser version of the Great British Baking Show. But on Hulu, Mary Berry does have a new series competing. That is also very good. I think it's Mary Berry's Best Home Chef of Britain, and it's phenomenal.
There you go. Well, Drew, who is next on the docket for a film?
Oh, gosh, that would be me, and I'm going to be bringing you guys some psychological drama.
I feel like we've got plenty of that in our lives.
I know. So we're going to get some psychological drama, and then after the psychological drama, we are going back to our Patreon picks.
Patreon!
And this one is going to be coming from my dear friend Matt. And he has chosen one that, and I think this might be a real feels first, none of us have seen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then after that, I will bring you guys Femme Fatale. And I'm going to state ahead of time, for the record, it is not a...
what you think it is?
Yeah, it is not what you think it is. It is definitely not Kill Bill. One or two.
Oh, there you go. There's two guesses.
Well, there goes my
low-hanging fruit.
There goes my crazy 88 commentary. I'm ripping it up right now.
Yeah. But heading back to my last intro from Walk Hard, we're going back to the... it's going to be a more obscure one, I think, for a lot of people.
I like it.
50,000 didgeridoos.
We've had some good reception for Walk Hard. It's been kind of neat to see people respond online so far to it.
Well, good. Well, and until next time, folks, we really appreciate you guys liking and commenting and subscribing and doing everything you do to be a part of us. And we just want to say thank you. And until 2 weeks from now, Fortnite will bring you the next episode. But again, until then, you're the realist.
And the feelist.
He was your son, Tommy!
He was your son!
Oh, and as a side note, a PS, postscript, if you skipped Walk Hard and you do go back and re-listen to wait for the bloopers at the end. They are worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
They're worthwhile.